is good all the time. Yes, he is. Amen. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before we get into the word. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words, for they truly are spirit and life. I thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor because you alone are worthy of it all. And I just thank you. And, you know, this is a day that we celebrate Father's Day, but we should celebrate you every day because you're our Heavenly Father. And as we celebrate you each and every day, we'll find that you'll direct our paths and we'll have a clear vision of what you want us to do day by day. Thank you for what you're doing here today, and we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. Amen. Amen. Would all of the fathers stand up for just a minute? Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Praise the Lord.
I'm sure I think that was a little bit of a weak acknowledgement.
Okay, let's do better than that. Yeah, all right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for your fathers? Praise the Lord. Well, the title to the sermon today is Every Day is Father's Day. Because it is. Every day is Father's Day because he's the father of all fathers. Praise God. He's the father of all mothers. He's the father of everybody and everything. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my life. My father happened to go to be with the Lord, I guess, when I was 4 years old. So I didn't have a father figure in my family. But I did have a mother who was very godly. And for some reason, God allowed her to be mother and father, you know. And she could be father when she needed to be. Because there was two of us boys and two girls. And I was the youngest. And we gave her a little bit of a hard time at times, you know. But she also knew how to correct us. And she did correct us. And she wasn't a very big lady, but she'd wear you out if you didn't behave yourself. And you know what? I'm thankful for that because I never ever got disciplined by her in any way when she was angry. She always would wait. If you did something and she was angry because you did something, she didn't correct you then. She would tell you, I'll get back with you later. And it might be a day or two later, and she might come in from work whistling, and you knew you was going to get wore out that day. She was going to straighten you up, and she did. And I tell you what, I can remember one time my brother, you know, he was probably, I don't know, maybe 15, 16, something like that. She still got on him, but he was my older brother, and she, back in the old days, and I know this would be considered child abuse today, but it's really not child abuse. Scripture says, spare the rod and spoil the child. But she actually, she'd take a belt and she'd wear you out with it if you acted up too much. And she gave him a pretty good one. And he told her, well, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. She says, here, I'll give you $10 and I'll see you later. Guess what? He didn't go nowhere. You know, and you know, she loved us all. And, you know, she was always there for us. And she was kind and gentle 99% of the time. The only time she wasn't was when we deserved for her to straighten us out. And she did straighten us out. But thank God for her. So always on Father's Day, I would always give my mother a Father's Day card. But I'm going to tell you, the father that I saw in her was the Lord. Because she loved God, and she was a praying woman, and God gave her, and you know, we were talking about back in Sunday school, we were talking about, you know, seeing God, seeing angels, you know, hearing from God, and different things like that. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that she asked the Lord every day to help her be able to be a good mother and a good father to us both, because she was that, both of those. You know, I had some uncles and stuff, and I had a couple uncles that were Christians, but I'll have to say, none of them came around and did hardly anything as a substitute father or anything. So the one that did probably function more like that was my Uncle Fred, and he was married to my mom's sister. And Uncle Fred, I used to go in the summertime up to Batavia and stay. And when I'd go up to Batavia, they would. Uncle Fred had a couple horses, and he had guns where you could, you know, go hunting or things like that. So Uncle Fred was probably kinder to me than any of my other uncles, and he lived in Batavia, and some of them lived across the street. But that's the way that goes, and God knows what He's doing, and He knows who He wants to put around you. And I'd go up to Uncle Fred's and stay, and I had a cousin up there, Freddie. He was 11 months younger than me, and we were like brothers, you know, when we were growing up. And I'd go up there and stay a week or two in the summertime when school was out, and Uncle Fred would take us to the Owensville Fair and stuff like that, and he'd take you rides on the tractor and all that kind of stuff. And I'd always work when I was up there because he had horses. We'd have to water the horses and do all this stuff. But you know what? Uncle Fred, he had been an orphan. So he understood what it was to not have a father around, you know. And he was a man's man, you know, as far as a man goes, you know. He had a golden Palomino, and its name was Trigger, like Roy Rogers, you know. And he was a tough guy. He was not a wimpy guy at all or anything like that, but he was a tough man. But you know, I wrote a poem for him one time, and I'm gonna share it with you, and it went like this. A kindness often goes untold, but yet in time it will unfold to reveal the essence of all that is done. As a man reaches his hand to a follow the son, to do a few things that a father might do, to teach and to show things that are new, to ride a horse, to shoot a gun, take to a fair, he might have some fun, riding a car and ice cream to buy. The price of these things is not very high, but their value is greater than any could say, for they're the things we remember as time slips away. The essence of caring is giving, you see. It's not the cost of a gift, but whether it's free. And Uncle Fred, when I'd be up there, he'd always say, "Won't you just come up here and live all the time, you know?" And I don't know if he was serious, you know, but he'd tell me that every time I was up there, "Just come up here and live. I'll get you a gun and we'll get you a horse and you can stay up here." And, you know, I wouldn't have left my mom for nothing in the world. But that was always made me feel good that Uncle Fred cared enough to even say that, you know. And like I say, I had uncles that lived across the street and within blocks, and I hardly ever saw them, you know. And, you know, I really appreciated him as being like a father figure, you know. But anyway, the scripture I want to share with you today starts off in Matthew. So we were in Matthew back there, but it's chapter 6, and it's verse 7 through 9. And I'm going to read part of it to you out of the Message Bible. And I'm just going to say, Father, just pour yourself through me today. Let this little word that I'm going to share help us to hear your voice in it and to move and do what you'd have us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Matthew 6, 7 through 9, it says, "The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want God to do. And don't fall for the nonsense. This is your father who you are dealing with. He knows with, and he, his, I can't even read today. This is your father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With God like this, this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. And then I'm going to tell you the Lord's Prayer. He said, and this is going to be out of the King James, it's, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Verse 14 says this, For if, and I love what it starts off with, Our Father. When they went to him and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And the first thing he was teaching them was to talk to God as though he was their father. And you know, he is our father. And we have to realize that, you know, if you have a relationship with your father, you can ask him anything or you can tell him anything. You should be able to. And I love the way he taught us to pray here. And we don't have to actually quote this prayer all the time, but this is an outline of how you should pray. You approach him as your father and tell him you want his kingdom to come. You know, there's a scripture that said that they asked Jesus about when will the times of the kingdoms begin, and he basically said, the kingdom doesn't come with observation, for the kingdom of God is within you, you know. So when we're telling him for his kingdom to come, we're saying, come inside of us, Lord. Let your kingdom come inside of us, and his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, that's talking about the natural, but it's also talking about the spiritual bread. And you know, a lot of times when I pray for people, if they're sick or something, I will pray that healing is the children's bread, Scripture says. And I want people to realize that everything that of God's promises are part of the bread of God that they can partake of. And really all they have to do is stir with a little bit of faith. And a lot of times what will happen is exactly what they just prayed. But so many times we want the preacher to have all the faith, or we want whoever's praying for us to have all the faith. Well, you know, Jesus said different times, he said, such as your faith is, so be it done unto you, when he would pray for people. So, and a lot of people say, well, I don't have much faith, Oscar. I don't feel like I have a lot of faith. And you know what? Even if you will pray, Lord, help my unbelief, like the woman that Jesus touched. And you know, when you pray like that, he hears those prayers. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. In John 4:22-26 says this, this is Jesus talking. He was speaking to the Jews. He said, you worship, you know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Well, that sounds like it's very exclusive. But you know, Paul came along right after that, and here's what Paul wrote after he had a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it says, shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee by whom the letter and circumcision doeth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And you know, when you invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life, he begins to circumcise your heart. He begins to take the fleshly nature away from your heart. And when he takes that fleshly nature, he wants to reveal the source of life inside of you. I know one time, years and years ago, when I was a pretty young Christian, I was laying in bed, and the Lord used to talk to me a lot when I'd first wake up. And, you know, I felt like he was talking to me about circumcision, and I said, Lord, what is circumcision? Why were people circumcised? What did all this happen? And I felt like the Lord said, in the natural, when you circumcise someone, what you're doing is you're cutting away the fleshly skin and exposing the source of new life, where new life comes from. And you know, me and Margaret were talking this morning, and she gave me a kiss, and she says, I believe she said, thank you for the seed, or something like that, from her children. And I said, well, thank you for carrying the seed. She said, well, I did all the work. I said, well, yeah, I guess you did. But you know what? We've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It dwells inside of us, you know. And that seed is going to bring forth after its own kind. And the only thing it can bring forth is the nature of God. That's the only thing that it can do, you know. And I know when you talk about stuff like that, some people will say, oh, gee, that's getting a little personal. No, it's not getting personal. God is a personal God. And he wants you to understand the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. And but I just want you to know that you're all Jews. So don't say anything bad about the Jews because you're a Jew too, because you've been circumcised in your heart. And that's what he basically was saying here. It says, but the hour cometh and now is. This is, the woman at the well of Samaria. It says, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. You know, years ago, I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about worship. And I never had looked up the word worship in Strong's to find out what the actual meaning of the word was. You know, I know it meant praising God and all that kind of stuff, you know. But when I looked it up, at that time, we had, Marge had called Margaret, and she had found this little dog by the side of the road. And she, and this little dog, he was cute. He was like kind of like a, almost like a Bichon or something like that, you know, little white dog. But he was real dirty, and then Marge and them found him, and they took him, and cleaned him up and all this and that. And then they called Margaret and started trying to talk to her about, Margaret, why don't you take this dog? Well, he didn't have hardly no teeth, and his tongue hung out the side of his mouth. And he was about as cute as he could be, but he was old. And I could tell Margaret she was a sucker and she was going to take him, you know. I told her, she said, no, Marge, I can't do that, you know. I said, go ahead and take the dog if you want to take the dog. And she took the dog, and we got it over to our house. And you'll be able to relate to this, Susan, being that you're here. Mark come by, and he says, what's that dog's name? And we said, we don't know. We haven't named him, you know. And Mark said, well, I think we should name him Gabby. And I said, Gabby? He said, yeah, you know, after Gabby Hayes, you know, Roy Rogers' sidekick. Well, I didn't know at the time that Audrey's uncle, Sister Audrey, Brother Eddie's wife that used to be the pastor, you know. And so he didn't have no teeth. Gabby Hayes in the movies didn't. He took his teeth out. He didn't show he had teeth. That's why Mark came up with that. But anyway, and he was always Roy Rogers' sidekick, you know. He was always doing something funny or something. But anyway, it's funny how God does that kind of stuff. But anyway, watching that dog sometimes, he loved Margaret. And he was a real humble dog. I mean, I've never seen a dog. I've been around some dogs in the last few years. But we never did have dogs when I was little. So I didn't know not hardly anything about dogs. And that dog, when Margaret would come in the house, he would just follow behind her and just keep jumping up and pushing on the back of her leg and just pushing and pushing and pushing until she would acknowledge him and until she would stop and pet him and talk to him and stuff. And he had a tendency that when you'd go to pet him, he would lay down on the ground and turn his head sideways and just get in total submission to you, you know. And, you know, anyway, like I say, the Lord was dealing with me about worshiping, you know, in spirit and in truth. And I looked up that definition of that, and I will tell you this, at the time, Jim called to find out how the dog was doing, Jim Wilson. He called and he says, "Well, how's the dog doing?" I said, "Oh, Jim, he's doing pretty good." I said, "I laid hands on him last night and he grew teeth." Jim says, "Really? Really?" Because I don't kid around that much with people, but I do kid around. You just guys don't get to hear me very much do that. Because usually most of the stuff I'm saying is serious. But I said, "No, Jim, I'm just kidding you." He was all excited. But I told him, I said, "Yeah," I said, "I prayed for him last night and he grew teeth." And I told him, "No, I'm just kidding you, Jim." But anyway, Margaret would kind of fuss with the dog because he had Lasix. He had to get Lasix. He had a congestive heart thing. So we took him to the vet, and we spent all kind of money on this dog. I mean, we only had him for a short span of time. And Margaret went out one time, and she thought that she'd fuss about him a little bit. She'd say, "Well, he's, because he had that Lasix, he'd pee a lot, you know." And she got to the point where, I hope you don't think this is vulgar, but she called him the old pisser because he was pissing all the time, all over everything. And anyway, she let him out, and she went outside, and she came back in, and she thought she'd let him in the house. Well, she got in the car and was driving down the road, and apparently he was following her down the road. And he got out on the main road, and the SPCA picked him up, and he had burrs in his, he'd been in the weeds and stuff, he had burrs in his coat and everything like that. And Margaret came home and she told me, "I can't find Gabby. I don't know where he is." And I said, "Well, did you have him outside?" And she said, "Yeah." And I told her what I shouldn't have told her, because we had a big tree at the end of the back of our yard. And sometimes a red hawk used to land in that tree. And I told her, I said, "Well, I hope the red hawk didn't get him." "Oh, don't say that. Don't say that." She said, I told her, "Well, I'm sorry," I said, "but I don't know what happened to him." So anyway, she got to hunting around trying to find him, and she ended up going to the SPCA to check and see if they had him. And they had him there. And he didn't have a tag on it. I guess we had a tag for him, didn't we? We had one, but he didn't have it on him. And when she got there, they told her, they said, "Well, you're going to have to pay a fine because he didn't have a tag on." And she was so glad to see him and was crying so much, the woman looked at her, or the man, or whatever it was, and says, "Look, lady, just take your dog and go. Just take your dog and go." But anyway, the reason I told you that little story is because that dog taught me what it meant to worship God. Because the definition for worship in Strong's Concordance is to fawn, to prostrate, to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand. And you know how much, if you've got a little dog, when you come home, it just loves you. And that dog would run all over the house looking for Margaret whenever I'd come in, looking for Margaret. And it would let me pet it and stuff like that, but I'm not a dog person that much. But that dog was Margaret's dog. And that dog was showing me what worship was really like. You know, do we fawn when we're in the presence of the Lord? Do we kiss him? Scripture tells us to kiss the Lord. Do we kiss him? Do we make over him? Is our whole in purpose and intent to show him that we love him and get his attention? And I tell you, that's what worship is really all about. So when he says God wants one to worship him in spirit and in truth, that's the way he wants us to act towards him, you know. And the woman said, I know when the Master comes, which is called Christ, then he has come, he will tell us all things. I'm having a hard time reading up here. I didn't bring my glasses, and some of the stuff is small. That's why I'm bumbling around up here a little bit. I have a hard time reading this. I got some of it blowed up and some of it's not. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And I'm going to tell you what he was actually saying when he said that. And here's what Jesus was really saying. Jesus said unto her, I am. I am. And let me tell you what, anybody, when they heard I am in the Jewish nation, they knew about the situation that Moses had when he had his encounter with God. And he said to him, when I go back to the Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am. And any time that Jesus told them I am, they'd get upset and they'd want to stone him. But I want you to know, when he said I am, he didn't say I was. He didn't say I will be. He said I am. And I am is a present tense word right now. And I want you to know he's always the I am. He's always the Father who's always there. And he's always listening to you anytime that you pray. He's always got his angels surrounding you. Whether you see them or don't see them, they're surrounding you. And the next scripture that I have here is 1 Corinthians 14:15. It says, for though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And that was what Paul said to them. And you know, I was thinking about Sister Libby, and I said something to Denise when I was talking to her last night, and I said something to Margaret about Audrey and Denise and Pauline and Libby and Libby used to sing this song in church, We Are Heavenly Father's Children. And I'm just going to quote you them words, and this is just literally the first stanza of it. And it went like this: We are Heavenly Father's children, and we all know that he loves us one and all. Yet there are times when we find we answer another's voice and call. His voice only, if we are willing, he will teach us his voice only to obey no matter where. And he knows, yes, he knows just how much we can bear. And you know, I don't care what you're going through or what's happening in your life. God knows where you're at. He knows what's happening with you. He knows how much you can bear. And he'll not give you more than you can bear. And, you know, I was thinking about Kathy when I was thinking about this poem that the Lord gave me a few years back. And she's been having a lot of physical problems and things. And I mean, I'm sure at times she thinks, oh, Lord, what else can happen, you know, because she's been having a lot of physical problems. And I'm going to quote you this poem that the Lord gave me. And he gave me this poem. He says, I will not give you more than you can bear. When life seems to crowd in on every side and your problems seem more than your share, just remember, I will not give you more than you can bear. When the answer you're seeking seems so distant and so far away, continue to seek me and continue to pray. Just know that I'm with you and that truly I do care. I will not give you more than you can bear. When the burden is heavy and of a crushing weight, that you have not given to me, it's never too late. I will not give you more than you can bear. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you only will but trust me, I will give you flight. I will not give you more than you can bear. And I don't care what you're going through or what's happening in your life, God's always there. And if you take his yoke upon you, his burden is easy and it's light. But if you try to carry the burden by yourself, it gets pretty daggone heavy sometimes. And it becomes more than you can bear at times. But I tell you what, if you'll just trust in Him, He will take care of you in every situation and every circumstance. But I just want you to know that every day should be Father's Day, because He is the Father of all fathers. And He loves you more than any natural father could ever love you. He loved you so much that He came in the form of Jesus Christ to die on Calvary for the sins of the whole world. And He took your sins upon Him. And if you'll receive it, and if you'll come to understand it, He took all your burdens upon the cross. And, you know, you don't have to carry your burdens. You can cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. That's all I had to share with you today. I'm sorry I'm bumbling around up here. My eyes are not focusing very good here today. I've got allergies going on. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you all praise. I give you all glory. I ask you to just bless these people as they go forth. If they can spend time with their fathers in the natural, let them spend time with them in the natural and give them a big hug and tell them how much you love them. And if not, then even so, let them spend time with you, Father, because you are the Father that loves them more than any natural father. I thank you for what your words declare. And even as you taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, then I know that we need to acknowledge you in everything that we do as being our Father. I give you all praise, I give you all glory, and I ask you to just bless your people as they go forth, and let them just enjoy the day today, and we'll be most careful to give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.